This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
These are the Eagles. And because we're back on the radio and because it's football season, we play the Eagles to indicate that Ron Jaworski is going to join us. My dear friend Ron Jaworski, who never finds time to play golf with me, even though he says, just give me the dates. Give me the dates. And I give him the dates, and that's the last I hear from him. I mean, where did you play this summer? How many times were you under
Wherever
par?
Wherever he wanted. He's just.
Yeah, you've gotten to be a really good player, haven't you?
Tony, consider yourself lucky. You're saving some money. I'm playing really good golf right now. Unfortunately, right. It's probably limited to maybe one time a week since the NFL season starts. But I had a good season, so consider yourself lucky. I'm not taking your money.
How many times did you break par?
Actually, my last round at Blue Heron Golf Club on Sunday.
Which you own.
I shot 71. So
that's
one
wow. That's just
birdied the 18th, par 5.
Did you play the Reds or did you play like a man?
I'm not even at the seniors' tee yet.
You're not, but you're not at
back the tips.
Are you playing the tips? You're not playing the tips.
No, I don't play. I'm not like your son Michael or my son BJ.
No, you don't want to do that. No. All right, we're going to get to games, but there's a couple of questions that really do suggest themselves that I know that you've had to think about. The first one is: do you believe Wes Welker? Do you believe him?
No.
Neither do I.
No. I don't want to call a guy a liar, but I think the story's somewhat concocted.
I don't believe it at all. You know why I don't believe it? Because I reached the point with Ryan Braun, who I believed 100%.
Yes.
And when I found out he lied, I said, you know what? I'm not going to believe any of them anymore.
He ruined it for everyone, huh?
I'm just not. Okay, another question. Derek Carr will start for Oakland. Oakland's a bad team. Do you think that he will succeed in the short term, not the long term, in the short term? How many games till like it doesn't work?
No, it'll work.
Really?
Yeah, I liked Derek Carr in my preparation for the draft. I looked at every ball he threw in the preseason. I thought he was fantastic against the Seattle Seahawks. Now, again, they're somewhat of a vanilla defense,
right.
Very good, I might add. It's going to be a tough test against Rex Ryan, that Jets defense, but I thought he looked very good, very polished, very poised, threw the ball with accuracy, velocity, and actually looked like he belonged.
Okay, then that leads to the other question, and then we'll get to the games. For 4 or 5 years, Matt Schaub, a graduate of the University of Virginia, looked to be on the verge of being a very good quarterback. What happened to this guy?
I wish I had an answer. This is one of the most unusual head-scratchers I have ever seen. And I've been around the NFL for 40 years, Tony. I came in as a rookie, as a player in 1973. As you know, when we used to do Monday Night Football, I was a huge Matt Schaub fan.
Yes.
This guy fell apart last year. I have never seen a player drop so fast, so quick, just lose confidence in his own ability, his own arm strength. It was a fall from grace like I've never seen before. I wish I had an explanation for it.
Do they have you ever known a quarterback? This happens in baseball. It happened to Steve Sachs. It happened to Chuck Knobloch. It happened to Steve Blass. In golf, it happened to Ian Baker Finch. They get the yips. They can't do it. Have you ever seen that with a quarterback?
Yeah, I've seen it with a lot of quarterbacks, but not to this degree where this guy was I think on my big board after every year, I had him like 7 or 8, and I always got a lot of heat for that because, they're kind of an underachieving team. But when I watched Matt, I thought, boy, the guy ran the offense well. It was Gary Kubiak stretch run, play action. He had excellent receivers. I mean, Andre Johnson, one of the best in the business. He always put up good numbers. We were both around him a lot. He had strong leadership skills, but it just fell apart last year. I don't know if the fan abuse got to him, and boy, you better have earplugs when you're playing that position and not hear anything, because those rabbit ears will get you in big trouble if you listen to everybody and everything. But his fall from grace was amazing.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get to some games. We're going to start with tonight's game, which is a fabulous matchup, at least on paper. Green Bay is at Seattle. Everybody knows how hard it is to win in Seattle if you're not the Seahawks. Green Bay is getting 5.5. I actually thought they would get a little bit more than this, and everybody knows Jaws is great at this, but the first week is often his worst week because it's just hard. You don't have anything to base this on other than exhibition games and what happened last year, and it's just not enough. So we grant you all that. Will you take the 5.5?
No, I will take Seattle. And oh, by the way, I was 13 games above 500 last year.
You crushed.
And you know I hate week one. Because
right, I know.
Yeah, there's nothing to look at, nothing to study. The starters don't play anymore. No one shows you anything. So these are the hardest picks of the year. But I like Seattle. Here's what I did, Tony. After last Thursday's game, I'm in the office at NFL Films, and I went back and looked at the tape of the Super Bowl. This Seattle just crushed
Denver.
They just crushed him. It was and Peyton Manning and that whole offense. They devastated the Broncos' offensive line. Seattle's defense is outstanding. I think they will control Aaron Rodgers. I think they'll control Eddie Lacy. They have a great rotation. And, oh, by the way, this preseason, Russell Wilson was tremendous. And certainly when you look at Percy Harvin, he now has an explosive player that you'd love to have to get those big plays down the field when you're running the football as well as they do. So I like Seattle to cover.
Okay, the next game is a conference game. New Orleans goes to Atlanta. Atlanta, much like Houston last year, had a terrible year and a surprising year. It just didn't really make sense on any level. New Orleans is a very good offensive team. I am a little bit surprised, even with the records, that New Orleans is favored on the road in the first game. If you like New Orleans, you give 3, Jaws.
Yeah, this is a tough one, but I'm going to go with New Orleans. I believe they've had an excellent preseason. Brandon Cooks, the rookie wide receiver, 4.3 speed. And Sean Payton, one of the best designers of offense in the National Football League, knows how to use that speed. That will create more voids for Jimmy Graham, Marcus Colston, and they can run the football.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Atlanta was devastated with injuries last year. They have not totally recovered from that. Matt Ryan's performance dropped off because of poor pass protection. They're not back yet. I like the Saints.
Another big game playoff team, Cincinnati at Baltimore. Cincinnati is getting 1.5 at Baltimore. I know you like Shaw, but in our time together, you didn't like anybody more than you liked Flacco. You have always liked Joe Flacco. He had a great year 2 years ago in the playoffs. He was ordinary last year because they paid him so much money they had to get rid of people. Ray Rice will not play in this game. Cincinnati loses in the playoffs, but they make the playoffs every year, and you can get 1.5.
You know why I like Joe Flacco? He's my golfing buddy, so that's why I got to like Joe. You know,
okay.
It's, you know, there's all a relationship here, Tony.
Right.
But I actually like Cincinnati in this game. They are a very good football team. Andy Dalton gets a new contract. He has all kinds of weapons around him. You know, I know they've had changes, you know, in their coaching staff. Jay Gruden leaves them as the offensive coordinator, goes to Washington. You know, Paul Gunther replaces Mike Zimmer as the defensive coordinator. But these are guys that are very familiar with that system. They're familiar with Marvin Lewis. I think Cincinnati is a very good team. I think by the end of the season, Baltimore will be a very good team. But right now, I think Cincinnati is more seasoned and more eager to play better early.
Here's another game that we're giving you. San Francisco at Dallas. Dallas stinks. They are a terrible team. They stink. San Francisco, everyone seems to be getting arrested on a nightly basis. I don't know what's going on there. But San Francisco is -5 at Dallas. I would be surprised if you picked Dallas, but maybe you will.
No, I didn't. I'm not. I'm taking San Francisco. And, oh, by the way, Dallas does not stink on offense.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, they are brutal on defense.
Yeah.
They showed me nothing of the preseason tape. And actually on offense, they didn't do much either. They were kind of being protective of Tony Romo with a short, quick passing game, not allowing him to get hit. But I know when the regular season starts, you know, they'll open things up. I believe offensively Dallas can be very, very good, but I don't know how they're going to stop anyone. They have no one on defense. I think San Francisco, the way they approach the preseason, it's not about winning for them. They know who they are. They know what they are. They're a physical, violent football team. That's how they want to play. They will beat Dallas, and they will cover.
Even without Navarro Bowman, even without Alden Smith?
Yes. Right?
Okay.
All right. They will.
All right, here's the first of 3 games we're going to give you where I am sort of looking askance at the point spread. The first one is Indianapolis at Denver. Indianapolis is getting 7.5. Indianapolis is a good team. Denver obviously has lost Wes Welker for 4 games. And Peyton Manning tends at the beginning of seasons to establish himself in a dynamic way. Last year, I think he had six or seven touchdown passes in the first week. But Indianapolis is good. I am surprised that you can get 7.5 on this one.
Yeah, it's a lot of points, and I'm going to go with Denver. I think, you know, John Elway, who runs the Broncos, Peyton Manning, they are all in. Obviously, when you look at what they did in the offseason with DeMarcus Ware and T.J. Ward to solidify that defense, I mean, DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller are a formidable pass-rushing duo right now. I think defensively they are much improved. And Peyton's on a mission. I mean, I just remember watching the first preseason game this year. You know, I mean, he looked like it was the Super Bowl. That's how Peyton approached a meaningless first preseason game.
Right.
So I think they are all in. This is their year. I believe they will beat Indy, and I believe they will cover.
Okay. New York Giants at Detroit. Detroit, a team in turmoil last year, a disappointing team last year. Giants were very bad. Eli Manning, as he does. Eli Manning throws a lot of interceptions. He also tends to go deep and do well. The Giants getting 5.5 at Detroit. As bad as the Giants may look, getting 5.5 seems to me a lot of points. Where are you going on that one?
Yeah, I'm actually going to take the Giants in this game with the 5.5, and I agree. Ben McAdoo has come over from Green Bay to run this New York Giant offense, and they are out of sync. Their offensive line was dreadful in the preseason. Eli Manning got pummeled. He's not one of those guys to stand tall in the pocket and look down the gun barrel. He needs to have the ability to plant his back foot, to step and throw. He did not get that in the preseason. At times he looked very bad. But I must say this, I looked at Detroit and Matthew Stafford also struggling in the new system up in Detroit. So both offenses have struggled. But that being said, I think the Giants are a much more veteran team with Tom Coughlin. They know how to win football games, and with 5.5 points, I think this will be a tight game, but I like the Giants.
Okay, we always give you the Redskins, even though nobody will watch this game outside of Washington and Houston. The Redskins were a terrible team last year, but they weren't as terrible as Houston. Houston was the worst, earned the number one draft pick, picked Jadeveon Clowney. To my knowledge, I have no idea who the quarterback is at Houston. I'm none.
Fitzpatrick, week one, anyway.
The Harvard kid.
He's
yeah, he was great in Harvard, but, you know, he throws a lot of picks, too.
Yeah.
He throws a lot of picks. He forces the ball. The Redskins are getting 2.5. The Redskins have a new coach. Houston has a new coach. The Redskins hope that Griffin is what he was 2 years ago as a rookie. They got a lot of offense. They've really loaded up on offense. 2.5 doesn't seem like a lot. I think I would take them. What will you do?
I would take the Washington Redskins, and I think they'll win this football game. But the quarterback must play better. And you're absolutely right. Offensively, there is a lot of talent.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big Jordan Reed guy. I think he controls the hash here. Oh, by the way, you know what that does? It opens up the deep balls, DeSean Jackson, you know, Pierre Garçon, those guys that can fly. Now, can Griffin get the time to throw the football? Will he have the mechanics to throw the football accurately? He has shown tremendously poor mechanics in the preseason. He's got to get better. He's got to continue to work on them. But they can run the ball very well. I think they'll pound the football and use the play-action passing game. Ryan Fitzpatrick keeping the seat warm for Ryan Mallett, who will eventually be their quarterback, who they acquired this week from the Patriots. So I think right now, with Bill O'Brien in Houston, you know, they're developing a new team. I think Washington has some components in place. Week one under Jay Gruden, they get the win.
Isn't Jay Gruden, because he was a quarterback himself, because of who his brother is, because he was an offensive coordinator, isn't he supposed to solve those mechanical problems?
Yes, he is, and I believe he will. But, you know, the thing is, the quarterback's got to buy into coaching. You know, you can coach all you want, but and I'm not saying Robert is not, because, you know, I love his talent. I know what he can do. I still remember his impressive pro day at Waco down when I went to Baylor. You know, this guy can play the position. He certainly dropped off the cliff last year mechanically and his confidence. He's got to get those two things back, and I think his game will be back.
Okay. Thank you, George. Will you be on PTI later today?
Yes, I will. Looking forward to it.
Talk to you later. Thank you.
All right, Tony.
Ron Jaworski, boys and girls, we will take a break at this point. What are you looking at?
Doesn't Jaws have someone he picks against typically?
Oh, my gosh. I had completely forgotten about that. Yeah. So we don't just give you Jaws.
It's Jaws versus the monkey.
Now, to be fair, Reginald had a poor year last year, was consistently picking against Jaws late, and was getting his doors blown off, right? But you've talked to him?
Yes. I actually spent some time with him down at the zoo, which was lovely. And turns out he had rather a crazy summer, Mr. Tony.
He
was in Brazil for the World Cup.
Good for
had
him.
A fantastic time. That was played in a poker tournament in Las Vegas.
Did he?
And he's got some exciting news. He has been cast in the television show The Americans.
Fabulous.
Yes, replacing Nina.
Oh, that would be so good.
Right, I don't know if he's a
How
love interest.
How does he look in it without clothes? Because Nina looks good.
Right, well, you know, he was modeling some sort of outfits for me that were sort of risque, but he's very excited. So we think he's going to be working in the Russian embassy. We think that's his role there.
Right.
So we gave him these three games. He was very excited. Now, the first game we gave him was Baltimore hosting Cincinnati, giving 1.5, and he showed me an old episode of The Wire on DVD where he's in a scene with Prop Joe and Stringer Bell. So clearly he's got some ties to the Baltimore area.
Prop Joe had to go on a diet. Did not get on a
Big
diet.
Boy.
So he's going to take Baltimore and give that 1.5.
Right.
Next game we gave him was Indianapolis getting 7.5 at Denver. And he actually showed me a contract where he is now going to be the designated driver for Jim Irsay and the designated tweeter.
The designated tweeter.
Yeah, so he's
the mad tweeter.
Yeah, so he's got ties to the Colts. He'll take them. And, of course, the last game I gave him was that Houston and Washington game, Houston giving 2.5 to the Redskins. And he showed me an old faded photograph of him at a pancake breakfast with Earl Campbell, Bum Phillips, and I believe it was J.R. Richard, the former pitcher for the Astros.
For the Astros. So he's going to go against Washington.
Yes, he's going to take the
Even
Texans.
Even though he lives in Washington.
I know, yeah.
Wow, that's...
It's a bold pick.
All right, well, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I had forgotten all about Reginald.
Yeah, stupid.
Reginald never forgets about you.
No, well, you know, monkeys never forget, or is that elephants? We'll take a break. Old Guy Radio. When we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
Sisters and brothers, this is Reverend Satchmo getting ready to beat out this Mellow Sermon.
The Tony Kornheiser Show on ESPN 980.
This is Help Me Rhonda by the Beach Boys. Yesterday was Al Jardine's 72nd birthday. Al Jardine sings lead on this. There's a song on the great collection, one of those great Beach Boy collections called Cotton Fields, in which he sings better. But we don't, Nigel, we don't have that, do we?
We do not. I'm sorry.
We do not have that. So, but it's okay. You know, at least today I didn't have to play Mirage by Tommy James and the Shondells, although McManus isn't here. So
right.
Tori, do you like Tommy James and the Shondells?
Absolutely.
So we could have, you don't even know who they are. You made a face like you don't even know who they are. I fell for that one. All right, let's just start. There's a story in the paper today. And I'll get to, like, other things. There's a story in the paper today, an excerpt from a book. Well, not an excerpt. Someone named Colin Wilhelm is the writer of this, and he's some New York-based writer. He's identified. And he talks to Roland Lazenby. Wasn't he like James Bond? Who was the guy who was James Bond once? Wasn't his name Lazenby?
George Lazenby.
And didn't he marry Pam Shriver literally for an hour?
Yes, I believe so.
Something like that.
Pam Shriver, the tennis player?
Yeah, he married her for an hour, I thought.
Yeah, I believe you're right. And he was only Bond in that one movie. That
was it. Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
Yes.
Right, but he was James Bond at one point, right?
Australian, I believe.
Right. I like Pam Shriver, by the way, on the air. She's a Baltimore girl.
A nice
Did you
person.
Know that? She seems very nice. I like her. But I remember they were married, and it was not. It didn't last a long time. Look that up and let me know.
Married to Pam Shriver for 6 years.
Oh, then it wasn't an hour. Well, 6 years is fine, then.
It's like a lifetime if you're married.
Yeah. Roland Lazenby, author of the new biography, Michael Jordan, The Life. Here's a question. The first question is, how much of the book do you spend on Jordan's time with the Wizards, and what do you make of it? And the answer is, well, I have a chapter on that. Jordan had, this is an unbelievable.
A whole chapter on
it? I have a chapter on that. Jordan had never held a job. He infuriated his father. He refused to do any work. If he had to mow the lawn, he would take his allowance and pay someone else to do it. He only had a job for 1 week of his life, and he quit it. The irony is Michael Jordan works 1 week as an adolescent, and his pay stub from that 1 week of work is in the Cape Fear Museum. How that happens, I'm not quite sure. What did he work as? He was cleaning swimming pools around a restaurant hotel kind of thing with a swimming pool, and he had other sort of janitorial duties. One, he hated water. He had some drowning incidents in his life. He couldn't stand water, but the second thing was he admitted he did not want his friends to see him doing common labor, which is a frequent thought for adolescents. If you look, Jordan did amazing things for the Wizards. They cleared up all the cap space. That thing amazed all of Jordan's close associates and observers. The great Johnny Bock being one of them, who was an assistant coach in Washington at the time. They all knew that when Jordan decided to play again, it was amazing to them because it was very obvious the Wizards were not a team that could win. Jordan knew he could not win, and in his life he loathed any such situation. I'm sure this is a throwaway, and I have no idea who the guy who wrote this book is. None whatsoever. And I have no idea if any of this is true. But the notion that Jordan hated work, this is, if you recall correctly, and I do, when Jordan took the job as the chief executive of the Washington Wizards, it was the greatest single day and night in sports in Washington, D.C. history. Better than winning the Super Bowls.
The hope that it brought the city was astounding.
Unbelievable.
It wasn't even hope. Michael Jordan. It was done.
He wasn't even going to play.
Didn't matter.
But we got Michael Jordan.
Back on the mountaintop.
It was a sensation. An utter sensation. And I remember Wilbon, who loved Michael Jordan, writing columns that said, he doesn't even have to come here. All he needs is a TV and a cell phone. Remember that?
Yeah, yep.
All he needs is a TV and a cell phone. He doesn't even have to waste his time here. He can do this job. And I wrote, in answer to Wilbon, I said, you know what? I don't really want to be president of Bulgaria. But if I can live in Paris and be president of Bulgaria, I'll take that job. And I knew it was stupid and absurd to think that Jordan didn't have to come here and all he needed was a cell phone and a TV set. And I thought Jordan was terrible at the job. I mean, I just thought he
didn't seem to work out well for the Wizards.
No, no. And here is this. What do you make of this? He never wanted to work. Although nobody worked harder at his craft.
Yeah, see, I think it depends on the definition of work. I think it depends on the definition of work. And probably the moral of the story is do something you love and then it will never seem like work. So he did work very, very hard at being one of the greatest basketball players ever.
Of all time.
I don't think you can say what this fellow seems to have said in this book without going, well, it's a certain kind of work. Who wants to clean swimming pools? Come on.
Nobody.
Who wants to do that?
Nobody
wants. Hard work and the chemicals, it's terrible.
Right.
Seems like he looks askance a little bit at professional athletics. I mean, that's work. That's grueling physical work. And
Michael Jordan did it
longer and harder than Jordan.
Michael Jordan put in more time than anybody ever.
Yeah.
So it's sort of an amazing,
you know, maybe not than Jerry Rice, but same story. I mean, you could say Jerry Rice never worked. Well, I'd argue he worked pretty hard.
What do you make of the notion that Jordan knew that they weren't going to win and played anyway? And by the way,
revisionist.
Made the team a lot of. I think Jordan felt he could make them win.
Right. Yeah. Jordan came here.
Jordan
had won everything he'd ever done.
To me, I think Michael Jordan felt, you know what? I'm going to play.
I got this.
Yeah. This is exactly how I feel about Robert Griffin and all the nonsense spouts he does. I think Robert Griffin feels in the bottom of his heart, as do many, many other professional athletes, you just give me the ball and get out of the way.
Right.
I think you guys are right about Michael Jordan. I think maybe I read too much between the lines from RG3. I think RG3 is beginning to realize.
You don't believe that Griffin completely blames last year on the Shanahans in his heart of hearts?
No. I think he thinks he's great.
Nope, I think that's one of the reasons he does seem less confident.
You think he's less confident, huh?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know about that. Goucher College, which wasn't Goucher one of the Seven Sisters at one point? Wasn't it a big deal, women's college?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was. Well, it
was never into
now.
Women's schools myself.
Yeah, you were always going to parties.
It's
schools,
not what
right?
I was looking for.
You went North Carolina State, for God's sake.
Baltimore School.
Go Wolfpack.
Right?
Yeah.
Local.
Okay.
Towson.
Stite.
Remember, it's a three-syllable word.
What?
Stite.
Stite?
Yeah.
Is that how they pronounce it down there? You must have fit in very well. Goucher College is offering a novel way for cell phone savvy teenagers to seek admission if the regular application process seems too confusing or if they fear that their grades and test scores aren't good enough. Let's go over that paragraph for a second. If you really don't want to fill out an application for whatever reason.
No, if it's too confusing.
If it's too confusing.
All that name and address nonsense.
Okay, NMI, okay. No middle initial.
Right. If it's too confusing and hard to fill out an application or if you think. And not if you think, if you know your grades really stink. They're offering you a new way to get into Goucher, which has always been a good school.
Mm-hmm.
They can skip the ACT and SAT admission tests. Skip them. They don't need to send a high school transcript. Forget it. You don't have to. Instead, they can submit a 2-minute video to the liberal arts college in Baltimore County that answers a simple question. How do you see yourself at Goucher? 2-minute video. In recent years, a growing number of students have begun sending college videos to supplement their applications. To supplement their applications, not instead of to supplement their applications. Some videos are crucial for those seeking entry to a school with a focus on performing arts. I get that. You want to play the violin in college?
Show me what you got.
Play the violin. You want to do some sculpting? Do some sculpting. I get that. This is not for that. This is for any rum-dum in the street who doesn't think his grades or her grades are good enough and who says of the application.
Or it's just too lazy.
Oh, man, later on that. I got other things to do.
I've been writing for 10 years here in school. What are we talking about?
Gaucho President Jose A. Bowen said Wednesday that he believes his college will be the first to allow general students to submit a self-produced video as a central component of an application.
Well, this is brilliant, Tori, what do because you think? I believe, and Tori would know more about this than I at her stage of life, but I believe with these applications goes a small Tori's check stage. To the university. I think you pay to apply to schools.
Yes.
And their application rate is going to skyrocket in the wake of this because kids are going to do this, right?
Okay. First of all, welcome to the 21st century.
Right.
Secondly, I'd be really curious how old the person is who wrote that story. Because there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds,
Nick Anderson,
I think now maybe over a thousand, really, really good schools and universities who say we don't need SATs or ACTs, right? It's optional, or just don't send them. So that's
don't you need a
but they still require a transcript and a written app.
Usually require a transcript and a written app and some other things. They also for some years now have encouraged people. If you think the essays that we ask you to send don't really reflect who
send
you are
your
as a person,
essay.
Send some other things. Send something video. Keep it short. 2 minutes to me sounds very long.
500 words or less on how to produce cheap mattresses.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know,
so cheap we can't even say what we're advertising
for. Chicken.
Too cheap.
But if that explains something important about you, send it in. So I didn't find this as shocking and groundbreaking as the story portrayed it.
I found it shocking and groundbreaking.
Yeah, not at all.
Really? Are you in favor of this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Will you have your children do this?
They can do whatever they want.
What if, for example, let's say that I went to school. Let's just say I went to school with Errol Morris because I did, and he's a fantastic filmmaker. And I say, Errol, look, would you do 2 minutes for me? Make me look good. Get me into this school.
All right, I have this from Goucher's website. What all is included?
Aren't they
in
good
the
school?
Common application or universal college application? You have the $55 fee, the essay portion, high school transcript, secondary school report with a letter of recommendation, and then an early decision.
You don't have any of that.
For the video app, you need $55 application fee, a video no longer than 2 minutes, a brief application form, a signed statement of academic integrity.
What does that mean?
One graded writing assignment and one stellar scholastic work. So two pieces.
I'm okay with this. Have you guys heard about this book, Quiet? Everyone should read this book.
No.
It's a really interesting book. And what it says is that contrary.
Who wrote it? Marcel Marceau? Who?
The box thing. I don't know. I'm terrible at titles and authors.
So it might not even be called Quiet,
it's
and
called
she doesn't
Quiet.
Know who wrote it.
Nigel can look it up. Anyways, the takeaway for me was, especially in these day and age, we think everyone needs to be able to stand up in front of 5,000 people and give a speech. Everyone needs to be outgoing and assertive and these kinds of things to be successful. And this book completely turns that upside down and says that we as a society are missing out on a lot of great talent because we expect people to fit into these certain boxes that we've created.
Right.
So I am a huge, huge believer that people can express themselves and demonstrate who they are as people. One perfect example, Wake Forest, where Colin goes, who's starting his second year. At least we think he's starting his second year. He may just be living there. They insist in the application process on an interview. And they really want you to come down and interview in person. And if they can't, they'll do it via Skype or something else. Because they say, we just, with all due respect to essays, and you know, to your point about Errol Morris, you could pay somebody to write a nice essay for you, right?
Yes.
They say that doesn't really demonstrate what kind of person this is and how this person will fit in or not fit in the Wake Forest community. I love that.
Is it Quiet, the Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking? Is that
there you go.
By Susan Cain.
Not Virgil Cain, because Virgil Cain was the name on the Danville train. If I was that, then I couldn't have gotten up at my son's wedding and taken the microphone, which had to be pointed out to me where to hold it by the band leader, and entertained people. Right?
You did so well.
You have to do that.
So well.
You have to do that.
Actually, you don't. I think the speech from the father of the groom is pretty atypical. I don't think you have to do that.
Oh.
I was very glad that you did that. Personally, I was entertained, but I don't think it's like it's necessarily like Chan had to do it.
Right, he
didn't
had have to do it. Well, he was paying for the whole wedding.
I mean, not to just bitch slap happened. You here publicly. I just want to make sure you understand the protocol, how that typically works.
I don't know. I mean, to me, I don't know what Goucher's going to – I don't get it.
I think they'll probably learn a lot more about the kids who are applying than they have gotten in years past from just – the written essays.
I love the way.
Do you think that
thing.
If Kate Upton and Justin Verlander sent some of their photographs to Goucher, that they would both get in?
Boom! Fast early track. Decision.
Yeah, they would both get in. Both get in.
Not cheap, Goucher, by the way. According to their
none of them are cheap.
Over $40K in tuition,
that's
and then
nothing.
Room and board on campus will run you another 11
grand.
And change.
Can I tell you that you got to figure on $60,000 to send your child away to school?
Yeah.
A state school, maybe $45,000. You know, but this is the cost of higher education is alarming.
Yes.
And people go into debt for years and years and years and years. And really, it's unreasonable. I mean, there's only people who have radio and television shows can send their kids to college. It's not.
And not listen up.
And
it's like
you
real
pay
shows.
For the gold card eating plan for your son, which means unlimited food at every single place on campus, and he continues to put charges to Chipotle on your credit card, that will be stopping.
When my son went to college, he was on the meal plan for a year, and he didn't really use it because at Penn, they just ate out of food trucks on the side of the road.
Yeah. Sure.
That's all they did. I mean, he became a connoisseur of food trucks. They all did.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Because, I was screaming about this. I'm paying a lot of money here. You know, the food's got to be pretty good, and he didn't eat any of it. Just food trucks.
Know the feeling.
I was not, at the time, and I'm sure I'm wrong now, but at the time, I was leery of food. I mean, my thought was, what are you doing?
Well, they've how clean?
Because we think it's sort of like a hot dog stand. You're like, really, what's going on in there? You know? But apparently,
I guess.
I'm just surprised you guys...
Chef, I haven't seen it, but it's
really good.
It's terrific.
It's really good.
Oh, these people are so unregulated. They are so unregulated.
Go see Chef. That was my feeling.
And we are one massive food poisoning incident in the city away from those things.
I can't believe you guys pay for your children's food. Should I be doing that? Because I take that out of Spike and Ike and Sydney's allowances. I didn't realize. I don't know what kind of lessons you teach them.
All right, we will take a break. Let me read. I'm going to read the copy again because it was so good. Hi, boys and girls. It's Mr. Tony, and boy, did I have a busy summer. I was out in Las Vegas a lot where my boys, Mike and Fredo, are taking over from Mo Green at the Tropicana. Then I was busy with some friends working on a deal that will, quite frankly, make us bigger than U.S. Steel. But it is great to be back in D.C. where I can keep an eye on the family business. And also, of course, where I can get the full benefit of my Window Nation windows. You know, I've had mine for 5 years now. I really love them. They look great. And because they're made with the D.C. climate in mind, they save me money on my energy bills all year long. And with over 1,500 styles to choose from, you'll find something that fits your house and, more importantly, your budget. And here's an offer you can't refuse. Pay $1 on all window installations and also get 0% financing for 24 months. Capiche? So I'm going to take a nap now. When I wake up, if you've called Harley and Aaron at 1-888-666-6422, I will know that I have a partner. That number again, 1-888-666-6422. You can look them up on your own personal Google machine at windownation.com. Window Nation, wait for this now. Wait for this. Window Nation, for your home, because it's where you live. Well, news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show on ESPN 980.
Here we go. Virgil Caine, not, what was her name? Not Susan Caine, Virgil Caine. And Stonewall's Cavalry Caine. Yeah? Tore up the tracks. This is the band. This is actually Levon Helm doing the lead. Just fabulous. Kevin is here with someone. Kevin, did you watch the Nats last night?
You know what? I was following it on my phone, but I had things to do. I was at a high school football game, actually.
Nats.
Great game.
It's a great game.
Phenomenal.
I think FP may be overstating when he said it's one of the 10 greatest games of all time. I think that's insane.
I thought about you when I heard that line.
Yeah, I think that's completely insane.
Of all time? Of Nats all time?
No,
all time.
That's craziness. But,
that would probably be nuts.
But I understand why he's saying it because, you know, who's signing the checks. I get that part. But it was a great game.
Phenomenal game.
Yeah.
Tony, a high-ranking Dallas Cowboys team source says they will not make Michael Sam jerseys available in the team's pro shops. They have chosen to make the arrival of Michael Sam all about football.
No.
So they will not sell his jerseys.
Okay, just, yes, Tori.
No, go ahead. It's your show.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. I'm rooting for Michael Sam. I am. I hope he makes the team. I hope he does well. I hope he's in the league for a long period of time. He's a sixth-round draft choice or seventh?
Seventh
round.
There's not a single seventh-round draft choice who got cut this year. Not a single one who anybody has written about or cared about or agitated for or opined about. The only reason this is going on with Michael Sam is because of what he said about his sexuality. That's fine. I'm okay with that, just as long as we all understand that Michael Sam is a story because of that. So when they say it's all about football...
Well, a smarter team than the Cowboys then should start making Michael Sam jerseys and selling them in their team
store.
Excuse me,
this is our business opportunity.
Yeah.
Why don't we make Michael Sam jerseys?
Right. People want Michael Sam jerseys. They want Johnny Manziel jersey. He's not going to play.
What jersey number is he?
46.
I don't know.
Practice guys get an actual
That's
official jersey?
That's my question.
Jersey?
Did they ever make available the jerseys for practice?
I don't know.
No, I don't think he ever knew their numbers, but I'll check their roster. But I think
you know what seems to be true about Michael Sam, and because I believe Howie Long's kid about this, I believe this, that Michael Sam, that it's nothing in the locker.
Right.
It's nothing.
Right.
And it continues to be stuff with us.
It continues to be stuff with people of a certain age and above,
Tony Dungy said he wouldn't have, I'm paraphrasing, wouldn't have done it
well,
because of the massive distraction it would have caused.
And the media
hasn't
circus.
Caused much of a distraction.
The media circus. Are you kidding me? Jerry Jones
is
the media circus. God bless Jerry Jones.
Yeah. I'll wrap in
God bless Jerry Jones.
We got
Jones,
a media circus in this town.
Jera.
You know, so, but it's, can they, I'm hoping the guy can play. Again, I said this before.
Sure.
He's the co-MVP in the SEC.
He was good.
He's a college football player.
He's
got to be pretty good. You got anything else?
No.
Just that USA won again in the FIBA World Championships.
Thank
Have you watched
goodness.
Any of it?
No.
It's been exciting.
No.
They look like the best team. Spain's down the road somewhere.
No, I haven't watched any
Maybe
of it.
In the finals.
Did you think? Why would I watch them play New Zealand?
No,
I don't
right.
think that's going to be.
They trailed Turkey by 5 at half the other day, and then blew them out in the second half. But they don't have the major, you know, LeBrons, Kobe's, Durant's on the team this year.
Kev, with the NFL season about to kick off,
who
do you think the Skins play in the Super Bowl?
That's a tough one.
We know
one.
You've got
the
them
AFC
going.
Sort of wide open.
Do you have them going to the Super Bowl?
No.
Where do you have them? What do you think?
Actually, today on the Sports Fix, Sports Chicks, we're going to do our Redskins season predictions.
Oh,
Tommy
man.
And I
okay,
will
well,
have our picks.
Definitely.
No offense, but nobody who listens to this show listens to that show.
Oh,
so.
I think that's incorrect.
I think that's very incorrect.
Where do you think their record's going to be?
I mean, I would hope that
because
they,
most people hear
500,
this
500 seems optimistic.
Like 9-8?
Does it?
Yeah, I think it does. But if the quarterback plays well, I think they could win, you know,
Which
10,
quarterback?
11, lose 6 or 7.
Which quarterback?
You know, 11-7, something like that.
11-7 would be great because since they went to the new
Deep
schedule.
Playoff run.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Right.
Nice job.
It was okay.
Nice job.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah. Email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
John, kids.
It's a little bit funny. The show that's now on. Featuring guests like Bob Ryan and like Will Bond. Best parts when Tony shows off what he knows. It's not right too often, but he is a chose. He says he didn't manage when she takes a loss. Anytime he says it, well, it makes her quite cross. Tony knows his music and well, that's about it. He still thinks Brazil's landlocked. He just doesn't quit.
This is Josh Cromwell, yeah. Moselle, yeah. Mississippi.
Josh Cromwell, yes, and it's an extended version. We can't play the full version of it.
Surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, Josh?
Surprising, isn't it?
Yes.
The Renaissance man that is Josh Cromwell.
My guess is you can get the full version at tkjingles.com.
Yes, Moselle Zone, brought to you by Mervis Diamond Importers, Mr. Tony. Nobody pays retail anymore. So
Joel A.L. Thomas in Dayton, Ohio. I'm glad your show has returned in time to preview the WNBA Finals. Will the Phoenix Mercury continue to dominate, or do you think the Chicago Sky is a team of destiny? I can't wait to hear Kevin's thoughts. Since he can almost name three coaches in the league, he must be your resident expert, and I will hang up and listen.
Right now, name more than three WNBA teams, city and nickname. Go.
Washington Mystics.
Good.
Chicago Sky.
Is that
Phoenix
correct?
Mercury.
Okay.
Indiana
Bam.
Fever.
Right. Oh, he keeps
nice
going.
Job.
Boom, who's going to win?
How about more than three coaches in the league?
Zero. I have zero coaches. P.S., the Washington Mystics are now the only active WNBA franchise to never reach the finals. Josh Cromwell, Moselle, Mississippi. Does Reginald also offer advice on fantasy football? My team, the Belching Juniors, is getting ready to take on a league filled with fellow littles, and I could always use his expertise. Jack Selby, Falls Church, Virginia. It's only Tony's second day back, and we've already heard the following. We'll get to the Nationals getting beaten by one of the most dominant pitchers in the history of baseball in just a moment. But before we do that, how do mattress stores stay in business? God, I miss this show. On the same topic, from John D. Benuzowitz, managing editor of DOD News Digital Print, I'm sure I'm at least the 700th person to submit this, but I've been too busy until now. One day back, he's already gone to the mattresses. It's got to happen every 5-10 years. Gets rid of the bad blood. Casey Hunter in Pittsburgh, you can get a Tempur-Pedic mattress from Macy's for $2,699. For an extra $100, they'll plug in your television set while they install it. Matt in Huntsville, welcome back, old sport. Congrats on not dying. Jonathan Conrad, Thomasville, North Carolina. True story. Back in January 2001, I had the chance to walk up Mount Sinai. I was so excited to take the walk of Moses. And then I got to the top, and right there was a concession stand. It dawned on me that I knew how Moses survived 40 days and 40 nights on top of the mountain. He was up to his eyeballs in Milky Ways. Information for life. Mike from Burke, Virginia. Love Tim Kirchin. Dropping the Carl Hubble reference. Tell me, Satch, what was it like you covering Carl Hubble back at the Herald Tribune back in the 30s? Where'd you get your best buys on snappy chapeau and sock garters in those days? If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
I'm going to solve. All right.
Good luck.
Corno Curl Cabinet.